At hand is the following. Bidvar chayalim shahayu kol shos halayla b'ma'arvim. When you have a group of soldiers who spent the entire evening involved in all kinds of dangerous excursions. B'siyurim v'shar pi'ilot mivtza'it. When you have them involved in all kinds of military missions and exercises. V'chozim lebasis kishar lefnei alos hashachar ayifim me'od. After successfully completing their missions and doing everything they have to do throughout the night, they come back to the base an hour before the zman. An hour before Alos HaShachar, so they can't put on tefillin yet, they can't daven Shachris, but soon they will be able to. Ha'im mutar lahem lalechas lishom b'tikva sheyakumu likro kriyashman b'zmana. Are we allowed to tell them, go to sleep, you're exhausted, you spent the whole night out doing mitzvahs, doing wonderful things, taking care of that which the army asked you to do, but we know that very possibly they're going to be so exhausted, they haven't slept since last night, they're probably not going to wake up in an hour to say kriyashma and to daven b'zman. Or Shema, kiven sheyesh chashav shemeirova yifus lo yatzlichu leisorer, since we're not sure whether or not they'll actually wake up, maybe asur lahem lishon klal. Maybe it is not permissible for them to sleep at all. Now this is a very interesting question because there are many different ways to go, and you have to take into account many different factors in order to answer it properly, which is why it takes three or four pages to actually get to the answer. But one thing that is not discussed here is the basis of the shaila, and that is the following. And I think this is a very interesting sugya lahalacha because it's relevant every once in a while. So what I mean by that is the following. What is the status of somebody who is a yashin? What is the status of somebody who is sleeping? Do we assume that somebody who is sleeping is considered a mechuyiv bedavar? Do we assume that while you're asleep, you're still considered obligated to perform all of the mitzvahs? It's just that it happens to be that you're sleeping, so you're an anus. You can't perform it. Or do you say that a person who is sleeping is like a shota, a person who is sleeping is considered totally out of the parsha, you're like a nachri, you're totally mufka from the mitzvah lagamri. So you'll say it's the same thing. So just to try to explain it a little bit differently, we have the same kind of question by aninus. We know that a person who's an onain is not supposed to perform mitzvahs. Two different opinions in Rashi, the Beis Yosef quotes both of them. Do we assume that when a person is in aninus, it is usher for you to do a mitzvah? Or do we assume that you just have a ptur, that you're not obligated to do the mitzvah, but should you want to volunteer to do so, you have a right to do it. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim writes one thing, and in Yerodeya he writes something else. In Aruch Chaim he says, I believe that you have a right to volunteer if you choose to do so. It's just that the Torah says you're not obligated because we know that your mind is very preoccupied with whatever is going on. In Yerodeya he says, like the overwhelming opinion of the Rishonim, that you don't even have a right to volunteer. Right now, your mitzvah is to be preoccupied completely with arranging the funeral. You should not be involved in anything else. And don't try to be such a tzaddik. Don't try to volunteer to do a mitzvah. Your mitzvah right now is only to focus your attention on the niftar, on the levaya, on all the details that have to be worked out, on writing the hesped, whatever it might be. You shouldn't be involved in anything else. When the person's aninus is finished, and now they go ahead and they're mechuyev in mitzvahs once again. So let's say they missed Shacharis because the Levaya wasn't until 12:00. So the whole morning they were out. Do you say that by Mincha they do a Tashlumen for Shacharis as well, or not? Do they have a makeup opportunity or not? What would you say the halacha is? This is a major shaila in the Achronim. Should we assume that a person during Aninus is completely mufka from the mitzvah? You're like a Nachri. Not that you're really like a Nachri, but right now we say you're not obligated in mitzvahs at all. You're out. And therefore there's no reason to do a Tashlumen later on. Or would you say that an onein is obligated in the mitzvah, just he has a ptur? The Torah says right now, you're too preoccupied, you're too busy, so right now you have a reason why you have an excuse. But later on, when you have an opportunity to make a tashlumin, once your excuse is over, maybe we would suggest that a person should go back later on and do a tashlumin. That's the same question that we have by a yashin. So let's just try and understand a little bit of the story. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Maharam Rutenberg. The Maharam Rutenberg lived in the 1200s. He was one of the end of the Tkufas Baliatosva. So the Maharam Rutenberg writes the following based off of the Gemara in Brachos. You take it one step at a time, and you'll see here is how the development of halacha sometimes is very unusual. You have one statement in the Gemara, one of the Rishonim takes it a step, one extension further, and then all of a sudden you see 100 years later, another one of the Rishonim takes it 50 steps further, and now we have the halacha that we have. So we start with the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara says a very simple statement. Katan Hamutal Ba'arisa. Let's say we have a child who's in a crib. Osin Oso Snif Leminin Asara. Says the Gemara, we have 9 people in the town. We don't have a minyan, but we want to say Kaddish, we want to say Kedusha, we want to say Baruch, we want to daven with a minyan. What are we going to do? There's nobody available, there's nobody here, everyone's out for the day. We want to daven with a minyan, says the Gemara. If you have a child there, mutal ba'arisa, sounds like you're dealing even with a small child, says the Gemara, if you have him, you're able to use him as part of the minyan. He can be a snif la'asara. Snif means he can fill in as the last one that's left out. So you have 9 plus the katan who's in the crib, who's in the stroller. That would be good enough, that would be sufficient to be considered a minyan. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. And the reason for that is because it says, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. You need to have a minyan together. You need to have 10 people of Klal Yisrael. So therefore we assume this person is okay. Now, says the Maharam Rutenberg, he takes this statement of the Gemara and he takes it one step further. Says the Maharam Rutenberg, the same way that you're allowed to join in a katan who's really not davening, right? He's a child. He doesn't know how to daven. So you have a katan who's not davening, and yet the Gemara says clearly that he's allowed to count as one of the members of a minyan if that's what the circumstances call for. Doesn't mean we, you know, wait another 2 minutes, you'll have a minyan. Obviously, you don't do that. But if it's a situation where you have no choice, so then says the Gemara, you take a katan, and that will be able to be mashlim the minyan. Says the Maharam Rutenberg, the same way that a katan who doesn't know how to daven, who's joining in to be the 10th man as part of the minyan, is able to count, so too writes the Maharam Rutenberg, you're allowed to take a person who's in the middle of davening Shmona Esrei, let's say, and right now he's not able to answer our Kaddish, our Kedusha, or our Baruch Hu. For example, for some reason here in the Young Israel of Woodmere, I'm never able to answer Kedusha when the Chazan gets something to Kedusha. Maybe it's my problem. I can't say the words quickly enough. I didn't go to a good school. So I don't know how to say the Hebrew words quickly enough. The Chazan is always ahead of me. By the time he gets up to Kedusha, every once in a while, I'm actually the 10th man in the minyan. It happens once in a while you have actually 10 people. How can he say Kedusha if you don't have 10 people answering? I'm one of the people he's relying on for the minyan. But how can he rely on me? I'm not going to respond. Says the Maharam Rutenberg, we can draw a conclusion from that Gemara Maseches Brachos that that's acceptable. How so? Because the same way you have a child who doesn't know how to daven, who doesn't know how to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, we can count him as the 10th man, so too says the Maharam Rutenberg, I certainly would say that a person who's in the middle of davening would also count. He's a mechuyev bedavar. He knows how to daven. Just right now, technically, he can't because I happen to be davening Shmona Esrei, so I can't answer somebody else's davening. So therefore, we assume, says the Maharam Rutenberg, that person would count as well as a part of the minyan. Okay, so far, so good. Why is that the case? Maharam Rutenberg argues because it says, v'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael. The main reason why we cannot say Kedusha unless we have a minyan is because when you have a minyan together, there's a certain presence of Shechina. So says the Maharam Rutenberg, as long as you have 10 people, even if one of them happens to be preoccupied, davening, doing whatever he's doing, we assume the Shechina is going to be here, because we have 10 people gathered together to daven. That's what he writes. Now, from here, says the Beis Yosef, one of the Rishonim took it 50 steps further. Who's the other one who took it further? That was the Maharibe Rav, the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. Maharibe Rav said, the same way the Gemara says that a katan can count as the 10th person for the minyan, even though he doesn't know how to daven. And the same way the Maharam Rutenberg extended that and said, somebody who doesn't have the ability to answer because he's in the middle of davening is not able to respond, he also counts for the 10th man. So too says the Maharibe Rav, Rabbi of the Beis Yosef, in the 1400s we would say, that a person who's sleeping in the middle of davening also is able to count for the minyan. So every once in a while you have a person who comes to shul, he's very exhausted at the end of a long day, shows up to shul, he's sleeping in the middle of davening. So what do? We have to go wake him up? No! Says the Maharibe Rav, why would you wake him up? V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. He doesn't want to daven, it's his problem, we'll catch the later minyan. But we are able to count him as the 10th man for the minyan because in the end of the day, we have 10 people gathered together, 10 people are all here, the Shechina's here, and therefore he says we would assume that would be good enough to be considered a part of the minyan, and there's no objection to that at all. That is what the Beis Yosef quotes from his Rebbe, the Maharibe Rav, and he says that this is the halacha in Simen Nunhei. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this lahalacha as well. Surprising halacha. Writes the Shulchan Aruch, Nehi de kasev harash de tzrichi asara de tzaisi. I, the Rishonim, say you need that 10 people should be actually responding, should be listening to Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. So how can you tell me you have one man in the minyan that's sleeping? How can he count? The guy's sleeping. He's not answering our Chazar Sashatz. He's not answering our Kedusha. He's not answering our Baruch Hu. How can we count the sleeping man toward the minyan? Says the Beis Yosef, no, don't worry about that. It's not a problem. Mikal Makom, Chazinan, listen to this, sounds like a joke, but this is a direct quotation from the Beis Yosef. Chazinan, we know that the practice is the Nagu Alma the Tzarev Afal Pisha Masichin Sichas Chulin. Apparently, in the days of the Beis Yosef Haredi, people used to talk during Chazaras HaShatz. So he says, how can we count them? People are schmoozing in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. They're not answering. They're not paying attention. And the Rush writes, you have to pay attention. Says the Beis Yosef, it seems that the minig is, we don't go and hit everyone over the head while they're talking during davening. We should, but we don't. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, because we always have people who are schmoozing and not paying attention during Chazaras HaShatz, and they certainly count toward the minion, so too, if you have somebody who's sleeping, he counts toward the minion as well. He's no worse than the people who are schmoozing in the middle of davening. Next time you see somebody talking in the middle of davening, tell him, you may as well just go to sleep. Yeah? Why that? Right. So says he doesn't explain, but the Beis Yosef says it seems. I live in Svat, writes the Beis Yosef. People are talking to my minion also. I would have thought the Beis Yosef's minion, you know, used to daven there. The Maribe Rav was the rabbi. The Beis Yosef was one of the balabatim there. Not a bad balabas to have. Maybe he was the president of the shul. You had the Arizal was there also. Who else was alive at the time? You had some pretty serious fellows there in the shul. But the Beis Yosef says they were schmoozing during Chazaras HaShatz here also. And therefore he says, we never disqualified them from the minion the same way we didn't kick them out and we didn't disqualify them. So we don't disqualify a person who's sleeping either. That's the reasoning that he gives. Now, says the Beis Yosef that when we're talking about this, Kedaihu Morizal Lismoch Alav, I would say that this is the Chiddush of my Rebbe, the Maribe Rav, and I think he's a big enough Talmud Chacham to rely on. If you have a person who's sleeping in the middle of davening, there's no concern at all why he shouldn't count for the minion, and it would be sufficient to be B'nikdashti B'sof B'nai Yisrael. Now, there's a further discussion that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Well, once you use this argument, how many people can be sleeping in the minion? In the davar sof, how far are you going to take it? What are you going to say? Six people sleeping? If you just have the chazan standing up, you know it can happen on Rosh Hashanah. Once in a while, Rosh Hashanah, the chazan is yodeling away, and he's doing all of his things, and everybody's just sitting there sleeping. They don't want to listen to him anymore. So, how far can we take it? How many people are allowed to be sleeping? So this is a major discussion in the Magen Avraham talks about it. He says, well, let's not get carried away. One person who's sleeping, all right, maybe we can count him. Then you can tell four or five people already, you're going to say you can still count them as a minion. That's a little bit unreasonable, says the Magen Avraham. He's not sure that that would count. But anyway, this is the psak that the Shulchan Aruch gives, and this is the reasoning that he has, because he says, number one, it's no less than the situation where you have a katan. And the Gemara says that a katan would work, even though a katan does not know how to daven at all. And from there, the Maharam Rutenberg learned that even if you have somebody who's in the middle of davening and can't answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, he counts as well. Therefore, writes the Beis Yosef in the name of the Maribe Rav, we would assume somebody who's sleeping counts as well for the minion that is necessary to say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. Says the Prima Gadam, as quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, does this only count for davening, or does it count for other things as well? Well, writes the Prima Gadam, when it comes to, let's say, a zimun, when it comes to benching with a minion, the same would be the case as by tefillah. You need a minion. You want to say Nevarach Elokeinu. You want to say the benching that you're supposed to say with a minion. The same way you can say Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu when one person's sleeping. If you have one guy sleeping at the table, but you have nine others who are paying attention, you'd be able to be mitzarif him as well. Writes the Prima Gadim, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah and Nesias Kapayim, he's not so sure. Why is he not so sure? I don't know why he's not so sure. Why would Kriyas HaTorah and Nesias Kapayim be different? Something to think about. Something to think about, not for now, because it's not really the focus of our discussion. However, he says, he adds a caveat, when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, there for sure, if you have one person sleeping, that would not be sufficient at all. Why? Why would Kriyas HaMegillah be different? No, he says, because Persumei Nisa. If the whole mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is Persumei Nisa, we need as many people to hear about it as possible. We want everyone to talk about the miracle. How can this man who's sleeping count? He's not listening. If he's not listening, he's not going to go tell anybody else about what he heard about. That's not a Persumei Nisa. And therefore, writes the Prima Gadim, although we would extend this halacha not only to tefillah, but also to zimun, when he comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, he says you need that 10 people are going to be awake while the Megillah is being read in order for it to be considered a Persumei Nisa in the right way that it's supposed to be done. The Taz there in Siman Nun Hei, what? That's a big question. Barovam Hadras Melech, Persumei Nisa, how many people really are necessary? That is a good question. But we know the bracha, I think, that we say at the end of the Kriyas HaMegillah on Leil Purim, I think it says in the Siddur, you only say that when you have a minion. Is that correct? Only when there's a minion present. So, obviously, we have Bali Kriya who go to people's homes and lay in for all the Cholu Muzukenim and anybody who couldn't make it to Shul. But they don't make that bracha at the end. The bracha is only recited Mishum Persumei Nisa when you have 10 people. So can you say that when one person's sleeping, right, Supreme God? Then probably not. Why? Because that's no Pursume Nisa. One guy is out, so then you lost your Pursume Nisa. Okay. If you look in the Taz there, in Simen Nun Hei in Ilchus Tfila, the Taz raises major objections to this claim of the Beis Yosef. To this Psak of the Beis Yosef, he thinks it's absolutely wrong. Taz says, how can you say such a thing? Now again, just historically, when did the Taz live? The Beis Yosef passed away in 1575, and the Taz was born in 1586. So he was right after the Shulchan Aruch was printed. So he has a commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch where he writes, I raise a major objection to this Psak of the Mechaber. How can it be that a man who's sleeping is able to be considered a part of the minyan? I understand you have a child there, all right. The child is awake, he's playing around, he's listening, he's answering amen, maybe, okay. You have a person who's in the middle of davening, and he's at least davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, maybe you'll count it to the minyan and Ikdashti B'Sof Bnei Yisrael. You have a man who's sitting in the back of shul who's sleeping. How can that man count for the minyan? Says the Taz, I have a number of objections. Number one. First of all, when you have a person, exactly what you said. Number one, when you have a person who's in the middle of davening, and therefore he cannot answer Kadosh Kedusha Baruch Hu, we all know the rule, Shomea Ka'oneh. At least he's able to listen quietly while he's davening. He could stop saying the words, and he can listen to Kedusha, and that will count as if he's actually answering the words. So that's why he's able to count toward the minyan. But how can you extrapolate from there to a person who's sleeping? There's no Shomea Ka'oneh when he's sleeping. He's not listening. He's totally oblivious. He doesn't know what's going on. Question number one of the Taz. Question number two, he says, how can you say that a person who's sleeping is able to count? He says, Sulka minei nishmasa. When you have a person who's sleeping, he quotes a Zohar HaKadosh. I know nothing about the Zohar HaKadosh, but he says that the Beis Yosef quotes a Zohar HaKadosh that says, when a person falls asleep, Sulka lei nishmasa. Part of your neshama is not with you anymore. Your neshama goes back. Like the Gemara says, that when a person goes to sleep, it's echa mishisha mimisa. It's like a quasi-death. How can it be a death? Answer is, part of your neshama goes back up to heaven while you're sleeping. Something to think about before you go to sleep. And that's when we wake up, we say, Alekai neshama shenasatabi. We're thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam while he gave us back a neshama. After it was taken away, we went to sleep, says the Taz. You have a guy sitting in the back of the room who doesn't even have a neshama, and you're going to tell me he's going to count toward the minion? How can you have a goof bali neshama counting toward the minion? It makes no sense, writes the Taz. Number two. So we're going to get to that later. I first want to develop the theme and then we're going to talk about it. Hold on to that question because you'll see something very surprising. Number three, he says, you're telling me that the Beis Yosef said, you need people who are going to pay attention to the Chazaras HaShatz. What was the Beis Yosef's answer? Kfar Nogu Alma, we know that the minig is, people talk during Chazaras HaShatz and we don't kick them out of shul, we let them stay and be part of the minyan, so this is no less than that. Says the Taz, are you crazy? You're going to draw a conclusion from the people who talk during Chazaras HaShatz? From these lowlives who can't be respectful enough during davening to actually pay attention, they're going to go and talk to somebody else or watch a movie or do something different outside of the context of tefillah. You're going to bring a proof from them to our case here, writes the Taz. Heich mevi rayim min ashotim ha'elu. How do you bring a proof from these fools, from these imbeciles who sit in the middle of davening and disturb everybody else, schmoozing with their friends? He says, Osim Isurbaf Saka Sikha Batela Asher Godol Avona Me'od. I think this is the only place that the Shulchan Aruch writes, Godol Avona Minaso. I once said this in Shul and people took me the wrong way. I said in Shul that there's only one place in Shulchan Aruch where it says Godol Avona Minaso, as far as I know. He doesn't say it by a person who violates the Aver of Gili Arayus. You can do tshuva for that. Doesn't say Godol Avona Minaso. There's a process of tshuva. It might be a difficult process of tshuva. You might need a lot of kapara, but there's a process of tshuva. The only place where he says Gadol Avonu Minaso is over here. Person eats on Yom Kippur, you can do tshuva for that. Person does Gili Arayis, you can do tshuva. There is such a process. Even if you do horrible Averus, you can always be taken back. Over here says the Shulchan Aruch, you talk during Chazaras HaShatz, Gadol Avonu Minaso. So people walked away and said, oh, you see, if I'm talking during davening, means Rabbi Shechter said I'm allowed to go do Gili Arayis. It's not what I said. It's not what I said. That was the attack that I was attacked by people in shul who said, oh, you see, he told us we're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Once we're ready in Avaria and we talk during davening, we may have said, no, my point was, you would never think of eating on Yom Kippur. You would never think of being Megali Arayas, I hope. So how can you even ever think of talking during davening? If it says, Gadol Avonu Minaso here, it means there's something very special about being quiet during davening. So there, writes the Taz, you have people who violate what the Shulchan Aruch says, Gadol Avonu Minaso, by davening, talking during davening, and he says, therefore you're going to say, based on those fools who sit during davening and talk the whole Chazaras HaShatz, we're going to draw a conclusion to our case here? How can that be a proof text? Ube'emes, he says, Ani Omer, Shechalila litztarifim anashim aposhim ka'ele. When you have people in your shul who are sitting and talking during Chazaras HaShatz, writes the Taz, we should throw them out of shul. They absolutely should not be part of the minyan, even if it means that we're not going to have a minyan. Kishayin minyan zulasam kavachomer shelo lilmon mizeh heter lishon klal uklal. Says the Taz, I argue on the first premise. These people don't belong in shul. If they talk during davening, throw them out. Stop the davening in the middle, even if it means no Chazaras HaShatz today. It's not worth it. Why would we do Chazaras HaShatz with people like this? Poshim ha'elu, you want to be a part of them? Says the Taz, he thinks the argument is flawed through and through. He doesn't agree with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch at all. But the most fundamental question the Taz leaves out. Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash, I believe, lived right after the Tekufa of the Taz. So it's like amazing how the development of this whole sugya happened. You start off with the Gemara. Then you have the Rishonim, the Maram Rutenberg and the Bali Atosis in the 1200s. Right after him comes the Beis Yosef, quoting his Rebbe the Ma'ari Beirav in the 1400s, who extends it a little further. Then you have the Taz who comes 100 years later and says, not 100 years later, a few years later, right? We said the Beis Yosef passed away 1575, the Taz is born 1586, 10 years later. He starts writing a whole story about how he disagrees with the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Then you have the Taz passes away 1667, Pri Chadash is born in 1659, so they overlapped a little bit. Pri Chadash comes along, he says, I agree with all the questions of the Taz, but he says, I have a bigger question, and that is, how can we count a guy who's sleeping? After all, when he's sleeping, he's not a mechuyev in mitzvos. He's out. And that's what the Mishneh Berurah quotes. Mishneh Berurah says, how can you say that a yashin is mitzvah of the minyan asara? After all, he says, yashin chashiv kishote. The same way, if you had a child who was mentally deranged, who didn't understand anything, you have him running around the shul, we wouldn't say that he counts for the minyan. Obviously, we don't kick a child like that out of shul. We let him come in. We embrace such a child. But he wouldn't be able to count toward the minyan. He has no understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, or what davening is, or what anything is. So therefore, says the Pri Chadash, when you have a person who's sleeping, he's the same. How can he count toward a minyan? How can you use him to be a part, to be mitzarev toward that? So that is the first time that we find this issue about a yashin. What exactly is the status of a yashin? When a person is sleeping, do we assume that one who is sleeping is considered to be totally mufka, he's totally out? Or do you say he's just like someone who has a ptur, that right now he can't perform the mitzvah because he has some sort of excuse, but it doesn't mean that he's totally out, legamri. This is part of the issue you have to think about when it comes to this discussion of the Shulchan Aruch versus the Taz about a yashin who's in shul, whether or not he can count toward a minyan. Yeah.
The basic premise of the minyan,
yeah,
is sense of shkina.
Right.
Right. So does it make a difference in the person if the person is sleeping, if he's talking, or whatever it is, the Shekhinah is here.
Right.
So then that's the premise. So if we want a minyan because we want the Shekhinah to be present, it's satisfied if we're here. Does that make a difference?
That's correct. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes, and that's what the Beis Yosef argued, he said, there is another criteria that's necessary, and that is we need to make sure that we have people who are listening, that we have people who are participating. It's not good enough to have people who are just sitting around. You have to have people who actually understand what's going on. Otherwise, it's not really considered a minyan. So yes, the Shekhinah is here, but that's only one factor. We have another factor on top of that, which is you also need to have people who are going to be a part of the tefillah. So that's where this whole Taz gets into the discussion, whether or not we can learn from those who are talking during Chazaras HaShatz to our case by the Yashin. Okay, listen to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Amazing halacha that Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo. So they write there a famous story. Apparently it happened in Panovich. That's what they write in the story there. That there was in the Panovich yeshiva, they had a sukkah on Sukkos. And there wasn't enough room for all the Talmidim to sleep in the sukkah. So what did they do? Panovich Yerov was a genius. He had a great idea. The first shift went to sleep. And once they were sleeping, he told their friends, carry them out on the beds, put them outside of the sukkah. Once they're sleeping, they're no longer mechuyev in the mitzvah. Carry them out. When they wake up in the morning, they'll figure out what to do and not let the next shift come in. That's what he did. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, Mitzad Hasvara Nira Barer. It seems clear to me. No one ever heard that? It's a very famous story. It's a very interesting story. And everyone debates whether or not it was correct what he did. I think it's a strange thing to do anyway. The guy wakes up in the morning, he's going to be, you know, totally startled. He doesn't know what happened. Just brings to mind, I remember one year we were in Yerushalayim for Sukkos, And we built a sukkah, but the problem was we didn't have any beds in there. You know, we were Americans. Like, what do we know about bringing beds into the sukkah? And we were renting an apartment, so we couldn't take the beds outside. My father was worried they were going to get ruined, so he told us on the night of sukkahs, he said, look, we're not in Washington Heights. There's not a sakana to sleep in the sukkah like it is at home. So he said, we're in Yerushalayim, we should sleep in the sukkah. So we walked to Yeshiva HaKotel in the middle of the night, and my father said we should go to sleep there. So we show up at 12 o'clock at night, and the Yeshiva Bachram are like, oh, Rav Shecht is here sleeping in the sukkah, you know, like they didn't know what to do with themselves. So anyway, we all went to sleep there. They gave us like a part of the sukkah. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, a big table falls down on someone in the middle of the night. My father says, the last time I'm sleeping in sukkah ever again. Anyway, the guys were sleeping on top of the tables there. They also didn't have enough beds. Anyway, so apparently in the yeshivas, there's a shortage of beds in the sukkah. It's an old problem. Not only in Panevish, Yeshiva HaKotel has the same thing. So Reb Shlomo Zalman writes the following. Mitzad asvara nira bar. It seems clear to me. Timeikra din. Bishasha adam yashain. When a person is sleeping. Ein alav chiyuv kriya shma utfila. Person, while they're sleeping, has no obligation, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, to say kriya shma or to daven. Don't tell us to your high school kids, right? What does that mean? The kid sleeps through in the morning, so the father's screaming at him, get up, you're going to miss the davening, it's my kriya shma, you're a bar mitzvah bacher already, how do you forget? Kid says, what are you talking about? Shlomo Zalman says, I'm not mechuyev. So the morning, the night before, when he goes to sleep, he's going to say to his father, don't wake me up tomorrow. Shlomo Zalman said that I don't have a chiyev to daven because I'm sleeping. It's a great excuse. Well, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, it seems to me that he's not mechuyev at all. The hareyu az kishote gamer. The same way you would say, when you have a shote who has no understanding of anything at all, would you say he's a mechuyev bedavar, just we say he's excused? Or would you say he's not mechuyev at all? What would you say? He's not mechuyev at all. For these purposes, we would say he's like a nachri. Obviously, he's not a nachri. It's not what I mean. But what it means is, he's not mechuyev at all. It's not that, oh, really, he was obligated. It just seems, it happens to be, there's a technical problem in the way that he can't understand what he's doing. No, that means he's not mechuyev at all. Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, a person who's sleeping is not mechuyev at all. He's kishote gamer. Lo ya'anesh al zeh shalo hispalel. Mishum bitul aseh, mishum da'anesu. Not going to be punished. You were an honest. This is the greatest of Shlomo Zalman ever. It's through the reason why it's in Halicha Shlomo, they hid it. They didn't want any of all the kids to find this thing. And it means, anytime you're sleeping, you're not mechuyev in a mitzvah. V'chein haro'a adam yashen v'alav beged shal dalet kanfos. Let's say you see somebody has a beged, a pajamas, that's dalet kanfos. Eino tzarech le'ha'iro. You don't have to wake him up and tell him, oh, you have to put tzitzis on there. Because he says, while he's sleeping, harei achiv chal rak b'sha shalavush v'hayashenu k'shote. When a person is sleeping, he's considered like a shote, he's not mechuyev at all. Ein levishasa levisha mechayevis klal. Ukumo kein le'inyin sukkah. Now he gets to the Panevish story. Nira de iser hashina michutz le'sukkah lo nemar. El la'adam ne'er b'shasha nishkav lishon. When do we say you're not allowed to sleep outside of the sukkah? That's only a person who at 10 o'clock at night is getting ready to go to bed. So we tell him, you have to choose to sleep in the sukkah as opposed to choosing to sleep in your house. But once the person falls asleep already, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, once he's already sleeping, ba'osasha, mutter lahotzio toch kideshi nasam al sukkah. You can pick him up on his bed, bring him out of the sukkah, whatever's going to happen to him in the morning is going to happen, but right now, he's not mechuyev. He's going to wake up in the morning and say, you made me be mevatel the mitzvah. I was supposed to sleep in the sukkah, somebody carried me out. The answer is, no problem. Why is that a problem? While you're a yashen, you're not a mechuyev bedavar at all. Tremendous chiddush of Reb Shlomo Zalman. The Panevish Rav said the same thing, and it's something that is really not so simple at all. And I'd just like to go through some of the makaris for this. Again, this is just the backdrop to this whole shiloh over here, whether or not a yashin is considered a mechuyev bedavar or not, which he doesn't discuss. I don't know why he doesn't get into it. It's what I think is the most important part of the shaila that you have to factor in. If I'm a yashin and I'm not mechuyev at all, so you say, let them go to sleep and it's not a problem to begin with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to come back in. Everyone agrees. If the guy in the middle of the night wakes up outside of the sukkah, he has to come back in to go to sleep. There's no shaila. Right. 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 Right.
So he could wake up any second.
Right.
It's not as if he's
Okay, but while he's sleeping, even if he's just dozing off, while he's sleeping, he's not answering Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, right? He's not with us. So let's get into the question a little bit. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Interesting Gemara. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Achal Chelev Behifish Karban. A person mistakenly b'shogeg does an avera. He eats Chelev. He eats a part of the animal he's not allowed to eat. Now he says, oh yeah, I can't believe I did that. He realizes he made a mistake. He goes and he separates a karban. He wants to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Even crazier, all of a sudden, in between the time that he separates his karban that he designated for the Beis HaMikdash, nishtamed. What does it mean, nishtamed? He becomes a meshumad. He becomes an oved avodah zarah. So he plans a trip to the Beis HaMikdash. He wants to bring his karban, to be mechaper for himself, for the avera that he did. He ate chelev. But nishtamed, some technical problem in the middle. He becomes an oved avodah zarah, doesn't believe in God anymore. So he still has the carbon set aside in his backyard, but he just left it there. But then, v'chazerbo. Then the next day he says, you know, I don't like this idea, I tried it out, I don't like that religion anymore, I'm going to come back, I'm going to be a Jew. So now, what does he do with that carbon? Is he able to bring it because he designated it before? Or is there some problem because in the interim something went wrong with him? Says the Gemara, ho v'nidche yidche. Since in the interim, from the time that he separated the carbon to the time that he actually had the ability to bring it, something went wrong in the middle with him, since he pushed himself out, he decided to go serve Avodah Zarah in the middle, therefore his carbon is invalidated, he has to start all over again. He has to choose a different carbon, he has to start the process over. Says the Gemara, similar story. Achal chelev v'hifish carbon, let's say a person does an aveira, separates a carbon, v'nishtate, and all of a sudden he loses his mind, he becomes a shote, where he's not mechuyev in mitzvahs. Now the doctor gives him some sort of medication. He's done with his hallucinations. Now he's back to himself. And he says, hey, by the way, I separated this carbon. I was planning on going to the Beis HaMikdash. Now I want to go back to do it. I had a couple of weeks in the middle where I wasn't able to, but now he wants to go back. Says the Gemara again, ho v'nidche yidche. In the interim, something went wrong with him, and therefore he was invalidated from bringing his carbon, and therefore he has to start the process all over again. That's what the Gemara says. Ask the Gemara, why do I need both of these cases? They're the same. In one case, he becomes a meshubad, he becomes an oved avodah zarah, and therefore the Gemara says he's invalidated. In the second case, he goes ahead and he becomes a nishtate, something goes wrong in his mind, he's now considered a shote, so he's also eliminated from the process, he has to start over. Why do I need the Gemara to teach me both cases? Says the Gemara, because each one has a chiddush. In the first case, where he's an oved avodah zarah, iu hu didachi lenafshe, he pushed himself out. Nobody asked him to go serve avodah zarah. He pushed himself out. So therefore, says the Gemara, there, if I push myself out of the situation, then I'm out. But how do you know that if I naturally become pushed out, something goes wrong medically because of something that's out of my control, how do you know in that case also that I'm out? Says the Gemara, I would say that in that case as well. Aval hai de memela kadachi, this person that was out of his control, he was memela kadachi, he was pushed out by natural means, nothing to do with himself, Ema ki yashen dami. Maybe I'll say he's considered like a yashen. I should say that he's like somebody who's sleeping. Kamash malan, says the Gemara, no. Satosis there writes, what do you mean? Isn't somebody who's sleeping considered like a shote? Let's say, I'm too old, I'm too weak to go to the Beis HaMikdash. I have to bring a karban. So I send it al yidei shliach. I ask somebody else to bring it on my behalf. Does that work? What's the halacha? Take a different example. We know that you're allowed to be mekadosh in isha al yidei shliach, or you're allowed to, chas v'shalom, you're allowed to be megarish in isha. A woman has to get divorced. Her husband doesn't want to see her ever again. He sends the get with somebody else and says, go deliver this to my wife. There's a procedure of how it's done, but you're allowed to send it al yidei shliach. What if the husband happens to be taking his afternoon nap? When the shliach, does he have to be on the phone with him at the time? Make sure you're awake? What if in the interim the husband becomes a shote after he sends a shliach to go give the get to his wife? What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Shliach cannot give the get. Why? Because the husband is excluded from the parsha. He's out. Once he's a shote, he's gone. He's in a different world. So what if the husband's sleeping at the time? What would he say? Same thing what?
He's out of the parsha.
Really? So when the shliach goes, again, in the times of the Gemara says, you're allowed to send a get al yidei shliach. So how would you know with certainty that at the time that you deliver the get, How would you know that the guy back home wasn't sleeping?
But it doesn't make a difference, because when he sent him, he was awake.
When he sent him, he was awake, knew. So when I sent him, take the other example. When I sent him...
It's like letting the arrow fly from the, you know...
Correct. So you'll say, once the process got started, I gave over the power of attorney to him, now he can do it. However, the Gemara says, what if in the interim, after I made you a shliach to go and do something on my behalf, now I become a shote. Now I'm gone. Something happens to me, now I'm sick, I am mentally deranged, I don't have the ability to make you a proxy any longer. It says, batal ha-shlichus. You're done, you can't do it. If there's something wrong with the person, with the mishaleach, he can't do it. And yet the Gemara says, when it comes to somebody who's sleeping, it's not the same.
Because it's not a permanent state.
So what if somebody, says the Gemara, what if somebody, there's a case the Gemara discusses, I don't know if medically we know what this is called, but I assume the doctors would know. Misha achzu kordikis, the Gemara says, you have somebody who has a strange illness where, 5 minutes a day he's in, 5 minutes a day he's out. Keeps going back and forth. I guess the early stages of dementia, right? The onset of dementia. You have a person, a couple of hours a day, they know exactly what's going on, they can interact with other people. Sometimes during the day, they're totally in a different world. They don't know what's happening, hallucinating, totally gone. So the Gemara says, what's the status of such a person? He's itim chalim, itim shota. Sometimes he's in, sometimes he's out. So this is discussed in the Gemara, but clearly Tosa says, you cannot say that a person who is sleeping is considered to be a shota. That's certainly not the case at all. We have many other rayas to this. We have a Yerushalmi in Meseches Brachas, where the Yerushalmi says, a person goes into a sukkah and makes a bracha leishet basukkah. Right? Theoretically, if I have a minion in my house, and I have all the food inside of my sukkah, everything's here, I can sit in the sukkah for the entire week and never leave for a week straight. Correct? How many brachas of leishet basukkah do I make? Let's say a person is going to stay in the sukkah the entire yomtiv. How many brachas do you make?
One.
When? When you walk into the sukkah for the first time, first night of yomtiv, make a bracha leishet basukkah, you counts for the rest. Ask the Yerushalmi, how come when it comes to birchas haTorah, I have to make a bracha every day. Why is that different than sukkah? So let's say I don't work, I sit and I learn yom and v'layla. The only time I stop is when I'm eating meals, and while I'm eating meals I have one finger on the Gemara, I'm learning all day. The only time I stop learning is when I'm sleeping at night. Well, says the Yerushalmi, why is that different than the person who's sitting in the sukkah, makes a bracha leishet basukkah, non-stop doing his mitzvah, leishet basukkah, the whole time, and he's sleeping in the sukkah. So why is there a difference? So the answer is, not clear. Says the Yerushalmi, this is the Lashon HaYerushalmi, sukkah efshir le levatel, Talmud Tomara efshir lo shelo levatel. Very unclear what that means. The Mefarshim have difficulty trying to understand it. One of the Mefarshim writes as follows, sukkah eino posekas klal. The mitzvah of sukkah is just a continuous mitzvah, just keeps going on and on. Da'afila b'shasha yashen, like you said, even at the time when I'm sleeping, I'm still doing the mitzvah of sukkah. Leishet basukkah means I have a mitzvah to sleep in the sukkah, I have a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, I have a mitzvah to learn in the sukkah, everything, I'm supposed to do everything in there. And therefore my bracha of leishet basukkah never ended, I never had a hefsik. I made the bracha at the beginning of yamtiv, it carries me over till the end. However, when it comes to Talmud Torah, ef shelo shelo livatel, it's impossible for me not to stop learning. Dibishah sheyashin, at the time that I'm sleeping, al karcha batal min haTorah. Obviously, I'm not learning Torah while I'm sleeping, and therefore the Yerushalmi draws the distinction that when a person is sleeping, they have to now make a new bracha on Birchas haTorah in the morning. Whereas when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah, we assume that a person is allowed to make one bracha of leishet basukkah, and that counts for the duration of Yom Tov. What do you see clearly?
The sleeping is part of the mitzvah.
Oh, the sleeping is part of the mitzvah, but like Rav Shlomo Zalman said, what would you say?
I don't know how to explain that.
Well, so Rav Shlomo Zalman just said, no, the sleeping is part of the mitzvah, that I have to go to sleep in the sukkah, but once I'm sleeping, I'm out. That's not what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi seems to be saying that even while I'm sleeping, I'm still performing a mitzvah, even though I'm totally oblivious to what's going on. If somebody would take apart my sukkah from on top of me, let's say somebody would remove the schach in the middle of the night, I have no idea, and then the next morning they put it back before I wake up, I don't know anything. Would you say that I slept in the sukkah that night? Did I do my mitzvah or not? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, doesn't make a difference. While you were sleeping, it doesn't matter what happens. Once you fell asleep, everything's a whole new slate. Doesn't make a difference, you're like a shota. The Yerushalmi seems to say not so. The Yerushalmi says, my mitzvah of sukkah never ends. I made a bracha leisha basuk at the beginning of Yom Tiv. That carries me through the entire duration of Yom Tiv. I never have a hefsek at all. Masha enkin, when it comes to the mitzvah of, what do you call it? Of Talmud Torah, the Yerushalmi says, there always is going to be a hefsek. So this is a...
So if somebody, let's say, drank tons of coffins and have been learning 48 hours straight, does he have to say any brachas in the morning?
Shavuos night. That's the question on Shavuos night. Okay. Right? We don't do that. We have someone else who went to sleep make the bracha for us. That's why. That's exactly why. So this is a very interesting issue. It's almost time to daven. What time is it?
9:56.
Okay, two more minutes. So this is a very interesting issue where there are many, many rayas from all over the place as to whether or not we assume that a person who's a yashen is considered a mechuyev bedavar or not. There is a machlokas ha'achronim that Rav Asher Weiss once told me about. I don't know if he ever printed it, but he did tell me about it once, that there's a machlokas ha'achronim between the Maharsham and the Imre Yosher. The Imre Yosher is Rav Meir Arik. They had a discussion about a gadol shabala his gayer. When you have a gadol, an adult who comes to become a ger. So it's a very painful incision. It's a very painful procedure to go through. So obviously when it's a child, we don't give anesthesia because the child, they say, at the time, he doesn't really have feelings yet. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what they say. The child is not really in pain. And when the child is crying by the bris, it's because the diaper is off. He's cold. It's nothing to do with the incision that's being done. I don't know. However, is that true? Not true. I don't know. That's what I've been told. Okay, whatever it is, the child will forget about it. When you have an adult, the adult knows the procedure that he's about to go through. The adult knows he's about to have a surgery. So what do you do when you have an adult? There's a major question. Are you allowed to put an adult to sleep at the time when you do the bris milah in order for him to become a ger? This was a major machlokas ha'achronim between the Maharsham and Rav Meir Arik, one of his contemporaries. Should we assume that you're allowed to do that at the milah of geris or not? Their discussion was, is part of the integral chelik of the mitzvah of milah that you gotta cry. You have to feel the pain a little bit. If you don't feel the pain of milah, it's not considered a real fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's what they're disagreeing about. It's a technical disagreement about whether that's part of the mitzvah. None of them say that, what do you mean? How can we put him to sleep? If he's sleeping, he's not doing the mitzvah. Why not? So Rabbi Asher Weiss said, it's obvious that they both agree that even if a person's sleeping, obviously he's doing the mitzvah. Nobody argued that the reason why you can't put the ger to sleep while he's having the bris milah is because, once he's sleeping, it's not considered a bris milah. Of course it's considered a bris milah. He did the mitzvah. As long as the mitzvah is being done, so that's good enough. So bris milah is a big question. What exactly is the nature of the mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah betotzah? Is it a mitzvah in the maisa? Leaving all the lubdas aside, the basic argument is that that's not relevant to our story. Because even if a person is sleeping, we consider it to be a fulfillment of a mitzvah. They're arguing on a separate level. Maybe bris milah is something unusual. Anyway, so this is a very interesting issue. We'll have to pick up with this shayla next week. Should we assume that a person who's sleeping is considered a mechuyev bedavar, just he has a ptur, he's an anus? Or would you say a person who's sleeping is dino kishote, he's totally out? And therefore we would say he's not a mechuyev bedavar at all, like Rav Shlomo Zalman argued. Once he fell asleep in the sukkah, you're allowed to take him out of the sukkah, it doesn't make a difference. He's not like he's considered to be a yashin chutz la sukkah.